This is Thompson Smiley with another clip from my monthly Louisville Arts Smiley's Picks. Much of the discussion in the newspapers of the last 2 months has been over the what has to be the major news story of this month in Louisville Arts, and that's the retirement at the end of the month of Alan Cowan, who has for 30-plus years been CEO of the Fund for the Arts. In the studio with me is Ron Murphy, chairman of the fund, around whose wise head have blown the storms and turmoil of this affair. Ron, where do we go from here?
Well, as recently reported in the newspaper, when we had our recent board meeting, we opened it to the press and we let them sit in so they would know that anything we were talking about was open to publication. There are a couple of elements to it. At the heart of it, the Fund for the Arts is a donor-based, donor-driven organization. It's not a user or recipient-driven organization, which I think we should make clear.
How does that manifest itself? Explain the distinction, would you?
Well, I think what we're talking about is that essentially, if you're talking about who calls the shots, the allocation committee and the process is driven by the donors. And in our case, it's the fiduciary responsibility of the various directors who constitute the allocations committees to represent the donors and represent the money that has been contributed to us. It is not something the people looking for money, the recipients come in and make their proposals and annual plans. And in many cases, it's just an ongoing process where we continue to fund things that they're doing and then looking for things that may show signs of prospects, brighter prospects, or things that appear to be some weaknesses that we can work with them on. But as a result of the board meeting, what I stated at it was that we were going to go back to the donors. That would be the first thing. We were going to go back to the donors, and we're going to do a research project. Now, we'll see how widely we can do it, but it's our community. And try to find out from them, what would they like us to do with the money? Are things fine the way they are? Would they like us to go in a different direction? And then using that input, we've put together a visioning strategic planning group that will work with that data, in addition to having large groups meeting together to get input from them. Those two combined to develop what we hope will then lead to a position description for the CEO. And it may not be all of the things that Alan did. He had certain talents he brought to it. It may be something that's a little bit different from where we've been. But we wanted to reflect what we believe are the donors' point of views to begin with, and then take that and meld it into our normal processes and stuff. And then finally from that input then would go to the search committee. Mm-hmm. And we'll look for a candidate to do that. So it's like three pieces together.
So you're basically building a new job description for Alan's successor.
Yes.
One thing that astonished, I mean, in the interest of full disclosure, I should mention that you and I go back about 30 years together.
Yeah, 27.
You had a distinguished several periods as president of the board of the Opera Company when I was its general director. And I, of course, tend to look at things even all these years later from a recipient's point of view. One of the commonest criticisms made of the fund is that you concentrate on a few majors and you don't go deep enough into the community. And my viewpoint when I ran a very expensive opera company was you should be concentrating on the four or five majors and let the little ones take care of itself. I imagine that's a balancing act.
Yes, it is. But clearly, when people talk about the value of the arts to this community, while there may be a very strong cultural sentiment throughout the community, when they really are talking about the economic development opportunities, whether you're listening to GLI or other corporate executives, they're really talking about the majors, Actors Theatre and the orchestra and the ballet and the opera in
particular.
I'm
sure they are. One thing I found rather odd in the conversation that's been going on in and among the arts organizations is the visual arts seem to be the ones who are complaining most about being most hard done to. And that's almost a paradox, because I know Alan Cowan's particular passion is the visual arts, with drama probably following somewhere behind. And in your case, you're a collector of no mean repute. So it can hardly be prejudice on your part that shortchanges the visual arts, if indeed they are shortchanged.
I think a lot of it is historical. To begin with, the Speed has never participated in it. And if you think in terms of what is provided to the total community, it would appear that the speed would be most relevant as far as getting money. Now, there are a lot of different things about why they may not want to even participate, you know, for the amount of money you would get. But as you move further down, the LVAA historically had the Children's Free Art Classes, or the CFAC program. So once again, it was being driven a lot more. The giving to them was being driven by an educational element to it. And then they also did exhibitions. But when you get much further below that, to me, it's always been a problem of how do you get the money to something that would be in the visual arts program that is to the benefit of everyone rather than just someone being able to sell their paintings.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, Billy Hertz, we have so many very reputable, high-quality artists in this community, but you'd still be hard-pressed to say, well, Billy, how can the Fund for the Arts help you short of giving you money?
Yes.
I think that gets a little confusing to me, and that may be part of the historical part of it, that is very difficult to figure out how you would really go about doing it, any more than coming up when someone says, well, I'm a great singer, I'd like you to give me some money, I'm going to sing.
Yep. I want to ask you something. It seems to me there's a tendency, of course, to kick anyone when they're down, but I think it has to be said that Alan Cowan did a pretty sensational job for 3 decades. I used to describe it as pushing a bigger boulder up a steeper hill every year. And through recessions, through the flight of corporations from town, through a really lousy financial climate, the Fund for the Arts under your chairmanship and your predecessors and his has just gone endlessly up the way, hasn't it?
Well, the last 3 years haven't been very good. Now we can.
Well, they haven't been very bad either.
Yeah, we can describe that. Well, no, but it fell off. We hit a high of about $9 million, and we've been kind of working back. And I think we're hoping to be somewhere around $7 million this year. Okay, we lost some very large corporate gifts, but some of those were given as one-time gifts, and we knew that they were going to go away at some point. But if we're somewhere around $7 million, it's still an extraordinary amount of money compared to other communities. But the fund itself has been very institutionalized, that it is a lot more perspiration than inspiration in the achievement that we've had. We have many, it's one of the few places you could ever think of that right now we already have lined up the people who will run the next 3 campaigns. You can't find any other arts organization that could tell you that, particularly when fundraising is the primary goal of what you're doing.
Which most people avoid if they can.
That's right. No, but so you have it. And that also leads to people saying, well, you know, the executive committee and the board are filled with corporate people. Well, they're a lot of the people who have done these things. And if you were to look at the executive committee, a lot of the members of the executive committee historically ran the campaigns.
Yes.
So you kind of make your bones a little bit to do it. Not only are you capable of bringing more money and maybe more exposure that would allow for greater fundraising, but you're willing to commit yourself to doing it. And I think that's kind of why you look to say, well, they look like a bunch of fat cats. And you say, well, they're the people that have been running the programs historically.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't see anyone should criticize them for being fat cats. I mean, there's no point in asking poor people like me for money.
I was going to do that before I left. Yeah,
oh, right. Really? Yes, well, once a fundraiser, of course. Always a fundraiser.
Yeah.
I must say, it could be just the time of year or something, you know, spring and the change and all that sort of stuff. But I can't help noticing, you know, Mark Masterson is leaving after, if you'll pardon the alliteration, a masterful period.
Right.
As head, Alan Cowan is leaving the orchestra, as we know, is in Chapter 11. The ballet is subject of constant rumour. The Bach Society is closing. Do you ever get the feeling the tectonic plates of Lowell's art scene, to use a currently unfashionable expression, are shifting under your feet?
Well, I think there's a financial condition that results, really, I think, from a long-term demographic development, and the demographics would be the supply, how many, or the demand, how many people that we have that are willing to participate in the various arts forms that we have, you know. And then the supply side is more and more and more offerings of very high quality. When I first came to Louisville, which was 27 years ago, and I was going to be a corporate executive, I had Actors Theater, opera, ballet, and orchestra tickets. I had 4 to each of them. And after about the first 4 months, I spent all my time trying to figure out how to give them away because you were so conflicted with all of the other things. Now we have many younger people coming in, and their interests are beyond those. It was when I was a young corporate fellow just rising, when I was in Norfolk, Virginia, to be seen at the symphony was the thing. You'd be all dolled up, you know, you and your wife and everybody else, and you all would go there. Now when you go to the orchestra and stuff, it's a totally different kind of experience. And I think there are just so many more things that people have available to them that it's hard to get someone to come and say you're going to go to 6 or 8 or 10 performances in the course of the year. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't like to call it dumbing down because I know I get into trouble in some quarters for that. But I mean, 25 or 30 years ago, the young Owsley Browns and Ron Murphys of this world wanted to get on the board of actors or the board of the opera and make their contribution to the community that way. Their successes, many of them, are to be seen on a Saturday night wherever at the Yum Centre. One of them said to me, you know, give me 2 ball tickets and a 6-pack and I'm happy for the weekend. So there has been a shift in entertainment.
I think that's
choices.
A taste. That's a taste thing. My own children who we went to, my sons, one is in Boston, the other's in Norfolk, and they were lifelong opera goers.
Yes.
And once they were out, then they finished college, they were on their own. I don't think they ever bought another ticket. Yeah. And they liked it. I mean, they enjoy it.
You're a philanthropist. You're also a not-for-profit fundraiser, but you've been a businessman all your life and a very right. successful one. Do you ever look at an organization? Let's invent a mythical organization which does modern dance and has a budget of $2.3 million a year, 6 performances and, you know, half full houses, and think, crikey, we're giving that group a lot of money for a very few people. Does that ever keep you awake at night?
I'd have to say when the time that you and I were involved with the opera, it seemed like no matter what we did, I think we could expect somewhere around 3,000 people to attend. So if you had three performances, you might have 1,500 at one and it would just fall down. And if you might have 2,000 subscriptions and then you'd sell another 1,000, you know, yeah. individual tickets. But none of that really changed very much. To me, it just seems like a certain number of people are there. You know, it's not where they have 6,000 people come to the opera. And we see this at the allocation committee. You get to see it clearly.
Yes.
And I'm a real doubting Thomas on anybody who says they're going to have more income. As a businessman, as I always say, there's only one line, the top line. And if you're not growing the top line, none of the other lines make a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. And so in nearly all these cases, when people come in, it's very difficult to find where they're selling more individual tickets than they did the year before, regardless of where they are, that on average, everybody seems to be somewhere in that same group. So that would be the part that I always look at and just say, wow, I just don't see where more people are coming from that are going to fill the seats or fill... You know.
Well, we've had this conversation in different guises privately that so many people are turning 65 that maybe there's a hope there that people will grow into. Your children who are currently attending Yum Centre on a Saturday might yeah. grow into a taste for opera orchestral music.
Well, I also think that as people are getting older, they become more cost conscious. And I have many friends who are, you know, that age and older as I am. And what you find some of them, even though you know financially, they're very capable of doing everything they used to do, that suddenly when they say they're retired, they start, I don't know if it's a mental condition, kind of cutting back. And before long, they're not willing to spend the money.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, I think that's very sound. Well, I think the Fund for the Arts clearly is in capable hands with you, Ron. I congratulate you on the really wonderful job that's been done over these last few difficult years. Congratulate you for handling what must have been one of the more prickly assignments for a not-for-profit chairman. My guest has been Ron Murphy, chairman of the Fund for the Arts. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you very much.